Hello, and happy Mother's Day from Road School Moms. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Kimberly.
Hi, Mary Beth. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to you, too.
To introduce ourselves, I'm Kimberly Travaglino, one of the founders of Full Time Families and Road Schooling Mom to Four. And on the line with my co-host is Mary Beth Goff.
Hey, you got the road trip teacher here. We are coming live to you on my end from Indiana tonight. I'm a homeschooling mom, also of four, traveling on the road, and happy to be here on this Mother's Day with you, Kimberly.
Absolutely. How was your Mother's Day, Mary Beth?
It was great. You know, we it's just one of the perks, I guess, of a changed schedule. I hadn't thought that we weren't supposed to be in Indiana. As you know, we were supposed to be out west, not too far from you, but we find ourselves in Indiana, and so therefore this morning I got to spend Mother's Day with our home church family at our home church, so that was a great way to start our day, and we just kind of spent the day hanging out together as a family, and we really enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, I could totally see how when you live on the road full-time, and sometimes you're not always where you think you want to be, but I always say you're always exactly where you need to be, you don't take it for granted anymore. You really revel in it wherever you are. That's what I find. We are coming to you live from Vegas. What in the world am I doing in Vegas? I'm not supposed to be here at all. But in a few minutes, I'll share with you what happened and why we're in Las Vegas. In the meantime, I want to say hello to everyone on the phone tonight. I see we have one of your neighbors down the block from you, Caleb, is on the line with us, and I see the Jenkins family on the line with us. So happy Mother's Day to you guys. And if you want to join us on the chat, come on to our Road School Moms page on the Ultimate Radio Show and start chatting with us. So what was your week like, Mary Beth?
Oh, you know, I know you're kind of on a fast pace, but we've kind of been on a slower pace the last couple of weeks. We've enjoyed some beautiful Indiana weather, and I don't know, I was kind of, I don't know what the word is. When I talked to you last Sunday, I know I had to get a pep talk from Kimberly. I'll share that with the rest of everybody because I was kind of crabby because we weren't where I thought we should be, and as you always say, you are where you're supposed to be, so I tried to take hold of that, and so I've spent this week actually examining what was in Indiana. You know, I'm from Illinois, but I've lived in Indiana a better part of my life, and I had never really looked to see what was around here, you know, right in your own backyard, and I find that, too. I know that you probably will agree with that when you're in certain places maybe that you've been before, or, you know, when you go places that have a major attraction, you know, you spend all your time with that, and it takes you a little bit to look around and see what else is, you know, is there. And so that's what we've done. I hadn't even thought about the fact that, you know, we still own property in Bloomington, Indiana, and not far from there is the Hoosier National Forest. And we have several state parks in the area, and we've actually camped at some of the state parks in the area, even when we're, you know, in Indiana. We take, you know, weekend trips or whatever there. So I am... I've spent my week, you know, just doing some research. We're going to take some field trips this week for our road school. And so I'm just kind of trying to enjoy where I am. That's what we're doing at Road Trip Teacher this week.
That's wonderful. That's a great idea. Sometimes, you know, they talk a lot about staycations. And although we travel full time, it doesn't mean we're always in the most glamorous or most high-profile places. And there's a lot of beautiful hidden gems just always around you. So that's wonderful. I'm glad you're going to take advantage of that.
Now, how about you? What are you up to this week?
Well, I posted some pictures. I posted some pictures on our Road Trip Moms Facebook page of my week. And, you know, it blew my mind when I looked through that it was only a week because I started last week on the phone with you coming to you live from Lake Powell. We had just pulled in. And it was time for the radio show. In fact, I was an hour late because we were driving. And so Lake Powell, and then there was a dam there to look into. So we visited that on Monday. And then Tuesday, we went to Lower Antelope Canyon, which was beyond phenomenal. Beyond.
Your pictures.
Did you see some of those pictures?
Yeah, I was just going to say the pictures were incredible. And I know you got to go with some, you know, some of the other families, and I was incredibly jealous, but I was it was wonderful looking at the picture. Definitely something that we're going to put on our must-see list when we come back west.
Absolutely. You know, the Grand Canyon gets a lot of press, and Yosemite and Yellowstone. Antelope Canyon is something that you see in a lot of pictures, but it's not really apparent where it is. And it happens to be in Page, Arizona, and it's just phenomenal, this slot canyon. In fact, Mary Beth, you walk, unbeknownst to you, when you take the tour of Lower Antelope, and there's two tours available, Lower Antelope and Upper Antelope. Upper Antelope is about $40 a person. Lower Antelope is $28 a person. And since I'm a bargain-seeking road school mom, I gravitated towards that. Upper Antelope is a much easier tour. Lower Antelope is definitely more rigorous. Our youngest little road schooler was two. Lewis was on Peter's back, and you can see some pictures of that on the road trip on the road school mom's page. And it was a little harrowing for us at times, but it was really an adventure. It really was, and we all thoroughly enjoyed it. So that's definitely something that you want to put on your list. No sooner did I get out of Antelope Canyon, and I was on this euphoric high from having seen this amazing, amazing creation, that I get a phone call. In fact, we get three phone calls, and we didn't answer the first two, and the third one, in an annoyed state of being, I finally said, okay, we'll answer it, and I answered it, and it happened to be NBC News.
Nice.
It was amazing. So
not exactly
News,
what you expected.
No, not at all. NBC News had done some research and wanted to do a story on full-time traveling families who live in RVs, and wanted to know where we were and where we were going next. And before I knew it, they said, okay, we'll meet you in Vegas. And so all the families that were with us in Antelope got in their rigs and motorhomes and trucks, and off we headed to Vegas. And the very next day after we got here, the news showed up bright and early at 9 o'clock in the morning. They wanted a day in the life of a full-time RVing family. And boy, did they ever get it. We woke up with them. We made breakfast with them in the house. We did schoolwork. Then we went on a tour. A bunch of the families joined us on a tour of the Pinball Hall of Fame. We went out to lunch. We came back home. And then we had a pool party over here at the RV park later that evening for even some more families. But I've got to tell you, Mary Beth, you know, a lot of people talk about when you live this lifestyle and an alternative lifestyle and you see all the reality shows out there, you say to yourself, gee, I might like a reality show. And you and I have talked about this before, and you know that our family does not want our own reality show for many reasons. But goodness, after having done that one day of filming with them, we were so exhausted. We literally slept the entire next day. We were so exhausted from having the cameras. And they weren't all that intrusive. It was just one reporter and one cameraman. But when we drove in the car, they were driving alongside of us.
I know, like, the pictures are so crazy.
It was craziness. It was craziness for this, for what will result in probably a 2 to 3 minute, you know, news piece. It was pure craziness. Could you imagine what it's like to create a whole season of shows? I don't have the stamina for it. I know I don't. It was exhausting.
Well, and you know, it's so funny. I mean, I think you're exactly right. And I know, I don't know, I think, you know, a lot of people think that it would be fun to do that, like you talk about a reality show or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, the way our lifestyle works, you know, we do get to, you're fortunate enough right now to be traveling with three or four other families. And I know that happens every so often when we're at rallies, you know, you do that. But for the most part, you know, we're pretty self-sufficient, which means that we're pretty self, you know, I mean, we, not isolated is not a good word. Yeah, independent's a better word than isolated. And so what I find, and I know I have this trouble just, I mean, that was part of my problem last week. When you get, you know, when you're around how maybe the rest of the world works, you know, the rat race, I mean, I hate to use that word, and I'm not, you know, not negatively, but just you know, the rat race of the rest of the world is like, shell-shocked. I mean, I'm like, wow, slow down. You know, I think that probably has something to do with it. I'm like, wow. You don't realize how, I mean, that is a blessing to me. I mean, it makes me love our lifestyle even more when I see that. And that's, I'm sure, what happened to you with all of that.
Absolutely. You are so right. You know, the pace of what I like to call the real world is exhausting to me. I don't know how I could ever try to go back to it because it just moves too fast. There's just too much to do. There are days where, you know, I might have one telephone call scheduled. Now, obviously, I work all day, but I work on my computer, so that's not very rigorous. But I might have one telephone conference call scheduled that I need to do, and that's it. My schedule is booked. I'm sorry. I have a conference call too. I can't possibly do another thing. Tomorrow I'll do the laundry.
yeah, I get that. I totally, totally get that.
So it was really exhausting. And, you know, to also feel, although they were lovely, lovely people, both the cameraman, whose name was Pedro, and the reporter, who is Keith Jones with NBC, couldn't have been nicer people. We meet the most amazing people on the road, and that was a good part of what our interview was about. You know, a lot of people who are in their homes right now considering this lifestyle are making lists of the places that they're going to see, right? And they're marking them off, and maybe they're going to put Antelope Canyon and Las Vegas on them. But really what makes the trip for me and what makes this journey so enriching and rewarding is the people. I don't think I'd be out here for 4 years if we haven't met the caliber and the richness of the people that we've met. It's just amazing. So they were lovely people, but I still felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to go on the news and we may be scrutinized. and therefore thou shalt not pick my nose or my teeth, or, you know, and we had like a no burping or farting rule for the entire day. So it was exhausting.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I can't wait to see where that leads.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I it'll be fun to see where that leads. I can't wait to see the footage of it, and I think it'll be a fun thing.
I think it's supposed to air this Wednesday. I don't have a 100% confirmation on that, but that was the impression they left us with, that it was going to air this Wednesday. So we'll be sure to post it all over Facebook so people can tune in and check it out. And hopefully I and my family won't have made a complete total fool of ourselves.
Oh, I doubt that.
We're really
good. Very good representation of our community, I'm sure.
One thing I don't
want to forget, we were talking about road trip teacher, and I forgot to mention, I want to give a shout out to Chrissy McIntyre. I'm not sure if you know Chrissy. She does a blog called Unschooling Paradise. She has a fun little blog, follows her kids, their road school. She's very diligent and good about posting where they've been and what they do. And she done a review this past week of my Mount Rushmore study guide. It was just a wonderful, short and sweet little review that she did. But I was so excited because, you know, they're unschoolers, clearly, with her title of her blog. They're unschoolers, but she, you know, wanted to jazz up their unschooling a little bit with something different. So she got a hold of me, and I sent her Mount Rushmore, and she was pleasantly surprised how it worked in their unschooling. And, you know, not that they're going to do one every single week or anything, but it was a good relationship made with her. So I want to give a shout-out to her for that great review. And if you're looking for another unschooling blog to follow, check her out, because it's really is a nice resource.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm happy. I know your stuff is terrific, though. but it's always nice to hear it from, you know, people who don't necessarily talk to you all the time.
It does. That's right. I know what you think, which I so appreciate. I'll just say, too, while I'm thinking of it, I just saw come across, there must have been tornadoes in Mississippi today. Mississippi, no, Missouri, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, like literally not too long ago, it looks like there may have, I can't tell if there was fatalities or not, but just sending prayers out to anyone in that community. It looks
Absolutely.
Like they had serious damage and tornadoes.
Oh, I hate to hear that. Yeah, it's tornado season. It's been a tough
it's
couple
scary.
Years for tornadoes.
I know it's scary. Is that, do you, you know, I mean, I know that we worry about the things that we worry about, but you know how crazy I am about the weather. I mean, I think if I didn't do this for our lifestyle, I might be a weatherman because I'm always looking at the radar to see what's next. But is that something that you, are you cognizant of that when you pull into a new area? I mean, do you look and see where a shelter would be, or is that something that's kind of not on your radar?
We have not done a lot of camping in the middle of the country, to be quite honest. I do recall pulling into a campsite in Oklahoma, and I always like to read the rules and the map while Chris is finding the spot. That's one of my favorite things to do. And it did discuss what the shelter would be, and we did discuss it as a family. But really, that's the only time it's come up. We don't really travel in that. What? What do you say?
Right.
Kentucky. Oh, we had that in Kentucky, too? Yeah, Chris is reminding me that we had that in Kentucky, too. But again, we don't go to the middle of the country during spring. We just don't.
Right.
I have a child who's deathly, deathly afraid of tornadoes and would just not have that. So we don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm right there with him. But I hadn't really thought, I don't know, we were with, I know you know, are familiar with the Williamses, Robbie and Mary Jane were talking. They'd done some sort of relief work in Oklahoma. I don't know if it was last year or when it was, but they were talking. They really got right in the middle of another tornado as they were trying to help with the relief work from a previous tornado, and it just made me think a lot about it. And as you know, when we were coming across the Midwest a few weeks ago, it was right before the last round of storms. And I don't know, whether you're new to the road or you've been on the road a long time, it's just a concern, I think, because, you know, clearly you get up in the morning and the weather may be one thing. It can change so rapidly in a few hundred miles. Scary.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things you definitely should have in your RV is a weather radio. That just goes without saying. You definitely need to get yourself one of those if you don't have one. I want to tell you one of the other things I did this week. I can't believe how much we packed into this week. You know, it was after the reporter left that Buddy said, hey, it's Thursday and they're doing a special preview of Mom's Night Out. Do you want to go? And I thought, Oh, yeah, let's go, because I haven't done nearly enough in the last 48 hours. Let's go.
Right.
And so we did. So a bunch of Road School moms, Laura Hamilton, Clementine Beckstein, Nikki Hornicky, myself, and Bunny Arnold all headed to Samstown Casino, where they have a beautiful Century 18 movie theater. And on Thursday night, we got to see Mom's Night Out, and it was a lot of fun. It was a real hoot. We really enjoyed ourselves.
How fun. Well, you know, interestingly, our MOPS group at our church, and normally, you know, I wouldn't have been here for that, but they had planned a big Mom's Night Out to go see the movie on Friday night, and I signed up. I was so excited because, I see that on my Facebook or whatever, you know, I think, oh, back home, they're doing this or that, and I was so excited. I was so excited that I had forgotten that it was my oldest 13th birthday. So that night before, I had to call and say, I can't go, because I was disappointed because I, A, didn't get to go with the group of moms, B, didn't get to see the movie yet, but did enjoy my son's 13th birthday, and that was the most important part, so that's okay. So I've yet to see it, but I know I've heard lots of great things about it.
Right, and if you don't know, Mom's Night Out is a movie about homeschooling moms. What? Christian moms. What? Written and directed by two homeschooling brothers. Oh, my goodness. The world is falling apart. And on the line tonight, we have Tricia Goyer, who is a world-renowned author of 32 books, one of them being the novelization of Mom's Night Out. Tricia, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, and I'm also a homeschooling mom, so there you go.
Oh, my gosh! Welcome, Tricia, to the show. We're so excited you're here, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you, too, both of you.
Well,
it's so good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's wonderful. I got to see it, and you must be so proud to be a part of this project.
It is so cool that they asked me. I think they asked me, though, because, you know, it's all about an overwhelmed mom. So they're like, what author do we know that's an overwhelmed mom? Tricia, let's get her to write the book. So I didn't know if I was to be honored or, like, scratch my head over the invitation to write it. But I loved it. And like you said, they're homeschooling. The Irwin brothers were homeschooled. I met their mom I was at the premiere in Hollywood a couple weeks ago, and I went up to their mom, and I'm like, you're the person who I wanted to meet the most, and she just looked at me. I'm like, you homeschooled before it was even popular, and this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for you. And so she got a huge smile on her face, so it was wonderful meeting her, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you know, I often reflect back to homeschooling previous to the internet and how easy it is when, you know, your kid says, hey, I want to know about XYZ. I can print off worksheets and puzzles and all sorts of amazing things in about 15 minutes as a result of the internet. And those moms that homeschooled before that was a real viable resource. Oh, my goodness. What a
Well, I started homeschooling in 94. So I started, yeah, when my oldest son, who's almost 25, he was 5 years old. So I homeschooled before the internet. So we were at the library all the time, checking out 50 books in a stack, and, you know. Things have changed. And, you know, we have 3 older biological kids and then 3 younger adoptive kids. So, you know, a second generation. And it's almost more overwhelming with the internet because there's so many options. Like you said, there's so many worksheets and different things you can print off. And I'm like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. There's so much we could be doing here.
That's absolutely true. Mary Beth, you haven't seen the movie yet, and I'm not going to give away a lot of those plot twists and stuff. But what she doesn't know, this is just amazing, an amazing coincidence of how the world works. You will not believe what is featured prominently in that movie, Mary Beth. Mary Beth and I were parked about 5 minutes away from the Eagle Cam. Mary Beth witnessed the eagles come to the lake that she was parked on with her RV, fish out of that lake, and then she watched her family haul, ran back in the house, and watched them eat that fish on the Eagle Cam. That's how close she was this winter. That Eagle Cam features prominently in the movie, Mary Beth.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, that was a surreal moment. That was one of those that, I mean, we couldn't have documented it, but it's the one, you know, you're like, oh, why didn't I have my camera? Why didn't I have something? You know, it's just definitely burned into your memory, which is where you have to remember it from. It was awesome. That Eagle Cam was fun.
When I was sitting in the movie theater, and it doesn't come up once, not twice, it comes up at least 3 times. When I was sitting in the movie theater, my mouth was on the floor with all this sticky popcorn and everything. I just could not lift my mouth off the floor because, you know, that Eagle Cam is hypnotic. And it is such a representation of what true motherhood is in the most basic of senses. And I think that's why people like us are attracted to it. And that thread was wound into the movie just blew me away. Just absolutely blew me away.
Yeah, I think the most prominent part with, we won't give it away, but in the police station when they're talking about it, that comes up too. So, yeah, it is kind of the theme message, I guess, of the movie and the book.
It is, and that, and again, just to reference that part that Trisha just referred to, it's such a poignant part of the movie. I was crying, so sweet that part. So you've had a really exciting last couple of weeks, Trisha. I've been following you on Facebook, and I saw you at Dancing with the Stars. Why don't you tell us what it's like to be a part of this process?
You know, it's so crazy because I was this homeschool mom, raising these kids, saying, oh, I want to write books. And really, I mean, thinking like one book. Like, let me just, you know, work on it while the kids are napping and write one book. And the journey that God has taken me on, I mean, he gets all the glory because it's just following him and listening to other people and listening to their stories and being open to, you know, spending time following our dreams. And I think, actually, as homeschooling moms, that's one of the most important things we can do is show our kids what it is to follow God. You know, this wasn't anything I had ever dreamed of growing up. Like, you know, when I was sitting in the audience of Dancing with the Stars, I'm like, oh, there's Mrs. Brady, there's Florence Henderson, like, you know, 20 feet from me. And it was just like, and even walking the red carpet, I was able to walk the red carpet and be interviewed by all this media while I was there. And it was just this moment of, God, you are so amazing that you would give me more than I even thought or planned. And so it was kind of like a surreal thing, like people like, were you nervous? Or, you know, talking to these actors. And it wasn't, it was like almost like a kid at summer camp. Like, this is so fun.
Sorry, I just had a, all of a sudden Barbie in the Shoes just started playing on my computer for some reason. Yeah. So tell us about your books, because you're the author of not one, but 32 books.
Right. Yeah, and I have, you know, Mom's Night Out is the one that most recently released, and I have three other books that just released in the last month and a half, which has been crazy, just trying to promote all of them. And so I write nonfiction, and I write fiction, I write historical novels, I write Amish stories, and it comes down to just finding a story that captures my heart and talking to people and interviewing them and putting the words on paper. I started out writing World War II novels, and I actually have another World War II novel that's coming out in the fall. And, you know, I've been able to meet amazing people, interview World War II veterans and listen to their stories and put their true events into these books. And so a lot of my books are inspired by true stories and what really happened, and I'm just able to put them into fiction form. And a lot of people who may never pick up World War II history book, you know, will pick up a novel and learn about it, or they may never, you know, visit an Amish community, but I'm able to take some of the things that I've learned and put that into a novel. Or Mom's Night Out, you know, people just need to know these heart messages that we don't often listen to. And so when we're able to wrap some comedy around it and some great characters, you know, those messages speak to our hearts. And so I think that's what I love about fiction, is just being able to take the messages that God wants us to hear and just wrap a story around them. Because when we get caught up in the story, our hearts are open more to the messages, I think, than any other time.
I want to take a minute to remind our listeners that this is a live call-in show. There's many different ways you can interact with us tonight. You can call in at 425-440-5100 and use conference ID 026375#. Or you can go right onto our Road School Moms page at the Ultimate Radio Show, and you can chat with us. Mary Beth runs a chat right there. Or you could just be listening in on the webcast. So tell me what it's like to write a novelization of a movie.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever done that. And basically they sent me, it was in December, and they sent me an almost final version of the movie. There was some parts that were just kind of choppy that they've smoothed out and, you know, made look pretty, and they've added music, but they sent me the copy of the movie, and then I basically watched it 101 times.
Really?
I don't know if it's 101. It was a lot, because I would watch each scene, and I really wanted to get it right. I wanted to make sure that if I was going to, be honored to do this, that I wanted to get it right, and so I made sure the dialogue is spot on. The things that I added were, I added a lot of more internal dialogue, so what the characters are thinking, some more backstory of what had, you know, been going on in their lives, as I was add that in. But basically each scene I would watch it over and over and over and try to capture what was going on the screen into the book, which got challenging, you know, because there's like chase scenes and I don't give too much away for those. But there was times I'm like, okay, how in the world am I going to put this on paper? And it was a fun time because, you know, Christmas was going on, and then we went on a family vacation. We love road trips. We love taking our kids on trips. And so 11 of us packed into a 12-passenger van and went to Florida. We went to Sarasota, Florida, and the beach, and then we went to Disney World. And so a lot of the book was written as I sat in the passenger seat of that van. And I've done that with many, many books. I could tell you which books I wrote during what trips, because we just load up in the car and I sit in the front seat and there's tons of noise behind it. So I guess that makes Mom's Night Out more authentic, because I was living, I guess, Mom's day out or week out when I was writing it.
You were living the life of a road school mom while you were writing it.
I was.
I do 99% of my blog posts at 60 miles an hour. In fact, that's what I changed my tag at the bottom to say, instead of saying written from my iPad, it says written at 60 miles an hour. So
it's,
I know
so
exactly
true.
What you mean. So you're telling me that you just got the movie in December, and you had
in
to get
December.
This all done by when?
The middle of January. So I wrote it in about a
month.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Is that always how
That's
it works?
Amazing.
You know, it usually takes me about 3 months to write a book. And, you know, now I've written like 40 books. Some aren't all the way out yet. You know, they're soon to be released. But the first book, I think it took 2 years to write. And so really, you know, for maybe someone who's never written a book before, they're like, you know, you can write a book in 3 months, but I've been doing it for 20 years. Like, I've been writing for 20 years. And so it gets to the point where, you know, I've just learned what works for me and what writing style works. So, yeah, I wrote this one in about a month.
Wow.
It was easy and hard. It was easy because the story's already there. It is such a great story. That part made it easy. It was hard just because I had to watch it over and over and over again just to get it right. So that was just time consuming. But I love watching it. We went Friday night, and a friend and I rented a theater and filled it up with 140 of our friends. And, you know, I've seen it so many times, but I love it. I just, like, was busting up and just hearing everyone laugh. It was so much fun. So, I mean, I would go today again to watch it. It's such a great movie.
Yeah, it is. And that must be so rewarding to sit there in a theater of your friends and be able to share this project that you're a part of with them. That must be a wonderful experience.
It was. And, you know, they were saying, did you meet that guy? And they named certain actors. And I was able to say, yeah, he was really nice. I talked to them. And it's almost just a surreal experience. But to hear everyone laugh, that just makes it so rewarding. And even before the movie came out, the book's been out for about 3 weeks. And so I've had lots of readers emailing me saying, I kept my husband awake because I was laughing as I was reading the novel. So that's rewarding, too, just to know that it's bringing joy to people and that the heart messages are really coming through, too.
Now, one of the things that – oh, go ahead. Do you have a question, Mary Beth?
No, she touched a little bit on one of my questions, which was my initial reaction was, oh, it's a novelization. That's so awesome because the thoughts and the, you know, the plot and the subject is already there. That must have been really easy. And then it occurred to me that it was probably harder than it sounds. So that was actually my question was, what was the hardest part of writing Mom's Night Out, this way?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, watching every scene. It's just time-consuming. I mean, it wasn't hard, per se. It was just time-consuming because I would just watch every scene over and over and over and over again to make sure I got it right. And then I would write it down, and then I would go back and watch the movie to make sure I didn't forget any or everything, which really I could pick up so many subtle things that they did that are just so, like, if you just see it once, you're going to miss a lot. And there's just really quirky things. On the bumper sticker on the back of the minivan says, my homeschooler is smarter than your honor student. So, which I just, you know, it's just fun little stuff that is just tied in there. And I think a lot of people are saying they want to read the book now because sometimes you're just laughing so much during the movie that you miss a lot because you're just laughing. And so the book, you kind of get to slow down and get all those little parts that you miss. But it was just time-consuming, I think, was the hardest part. Because writing the story, you know, was pretty easy because you could see it. And then just keeping the characters true to the people that you see, you know, because it has some internal dialogue. And I go a lot more into Sandra, the pastor's wife, kind of her experiences. So just making sure it's true to the person that they wanted it to be, not me taking a spin on the character. And I got great feedback because, you know, the directors and the screenplay writer read it before it went to print, and they loved it. So that made me feel good, too, to know that I got spot on what they were looking for.
So Leslie from Tucson is asking on our chat, Tricia, the lead from what you just said, did you get to actually add anything to the book that wasn't in the movie? Did you get to embellish it, or did you stick pretty closely with the original content?
I did add internal thoughts, so what was kind of going on in their heads. And I also added more about Izzy's pregnancy, which, that, you know, that happens pretty quick in the movie, so I'm not giving too much away. So I did add some more on the end that had to do, because, anyway. So, yes, I did add a little bit more here and there.
Awesome. Well, Tricia has generously brought along two copies of the book to give away tonight to listeners. So how should we do this, Mary Beth? What should we do?
Well, this is my question because I already have someone on our chat asking, do they have to actually call in on the phone? How are we going to determine the winner since we have the two copies?
Well, you know, we usually do winners on the phone, so let's just do it on the chat this time. It's just easier. So if you give us a chat with the hashtag Mom's Night Out,
on the chat, you're the first two people who do that, they're the winners of the book tonight. How about that?
Awesome. That sounds great.
People are furiously typing away.
Right.
So, Tricia, I had another question for you. If people want to look into your extensive library of books that you've authored, where can they find that information?
Yeah, they could just go to TriciaGoyer.com, and it's TriciaGoyer.com, and I have all my books are listed there, and then I also have a blog that I post almost daily. I don't do the weekends, but I post daily about homeschooling and writing and parenting and marriage and all sorts of things. My behind the scenes at Dancing with the Stars, all that kind of stuff ends up on my blog.
Very fun. Now, you're still homeschooling, you said. What are the ages of your homeschoolers right now?
Okay, so yeah, my older three are graduated. So 25, 21, and 20 are my three older ones. And then our homeschooled kids are our three adopted kids that are 6, 4, and 3. So I am starting completely over, and I only had about a 6-month break from the time my he's 20 now, graduated from high school to my little one started kindergarten. So I'll basically be homeschooling for, I think I figured out, 35 years.
Oh my goodness.
Like a career or something, I don't know. Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. And now, since you've been homeschooling for that long, we mentioned the internet. What else has really changed on the homeschool scene?
Yeah, there's so many resources, which it was just part of the internet. There's so much to choose from, and I was overwhelmed. Like, I did a lot of Alpha Omega with my older kids, and I'm like, there's all these things I can do with that. There's a lot more homeschool activities, homeschool groups, which I think they're all, you know, really great things. I mean, if I want my kids to do art or music or all these things, there's groups that they can join, which is wonderful. I think it can be so overwhelming, though, because you don't spend enough time together and at home, which I think is kind of the point of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, right now with our second set, I'm trying to balance that. Like, okay, I want to make sure we have dinner together. I want to make sure we read together as a family, which are priorities. I want to make sure we serve in the community or in our church together. And then if there's time to add something on, like we added on Awanas, to add that on after we already, you know, have our schedule set for the priorities. And I think it can be so busy and running around because there's so many opportunities out there. And then comparison, which the Mom Side Out talks about that too. You know, we're always comparing ourselves and we're so hard on ourselves as moms. I think because there's blogs and there's Facebook, it can be so easy to compare ourselves to other people. You know I'm guilty of posting really cute art projects that my kids have done, and look at us. And, you know, I didn't put the 30 minutes before, they were all fighting over the red crayon or whatever. So I think it can be where we get hard on ourselves and we're comparing ourselves to other moms out there.
That's so interesting that you say that. One of the messages from our church here in Bloomington this morning, our pastor, there was four messages kind of that related to moms, but it was, I don't know if I can say this like he did, but it was basically, don't compare your insides with everyone else's outsides. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me so funny. I mean, it just really hit home with me. Because I think you're right. That's a lot of what we do as moms, whether we're homeschool moms or not. That just, I think the homeschool part of being a mom amps it up a little bit, amps up your guilt train a little bit faster.
God really spoke to me years ago, don't compare my weaknesses with other people's strengths. They're baking all the time, and I'm not a baker. Or they have an organic garden in the backyard with their kids. I don't garden. You know what I mean? But my kids love stories. They, you know, two of them are in the process of writing books. My daughter's a missionary in the Czech Republic. She's only 21, and she has a newsletter. I mean, we love writing. Like, we talk about stories all the time. We read together. And so that's what my gifts are, and I've seen that passed on to my kids. So God must have had a purpose for them to need to tell stories. So I can compare. Like, I don't bake. I'm a horrible baker, and I don't garden, and compare that. But instead, just be thankful for the gifts that God gave me, knowing that somehow that's going to benefit my kids.
I just want to share in the same light, I read something so profound for me on Facebook this past week, and it's really given me such a paradigm shift in my life. It said, you'll never be loved like this again. And it refers to how your young children look up to you, adore you, and love you, and how you really need to savor this moment. And that's just been one of the biggest gifts that I received this week on Facebook, is that little ditty.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to go hug my kids now. Sorry, I can't talk to you guys anymore. No, just kidding.
Yeah, it's just so fleeting, and it's so easy to take for granted. It's so easy to get stuck in the muck and mire of raising little kids. But my goodness, it's never a truer statement has been said, in my opinion.
I love that.
So, yeah. So I want to thank you, Tricia, so much for being on the line with us and for taking time. I know this has been a crazy busy week for you, for taking your time and giving all of the Road School moms this wonderful Mother's Day gift of your presence on this show. We really, truly appreciate the time you spent with us tonight. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I just appreciate you guys and what you do, and just keep serving him because you're doing a great job.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
and again,
Tricia.
If any one of our listeners want to learn more about Tricia, please go to trishagoyer.com, and we'll be sure to post that on our Facebook page, and we'll put it in the link to this podcast. So thanks again. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day, Tricia. So, Kimberly, our two winners were Christy Smith, which was at our Tucson Rose School Convention, and then Les. No, that was one of your first contacts in Tucson. She was our other winner, so they're very excited to get those.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Very happy about that. I have been reading the book, and unfortunately I didn't get to finish it before I saw the movie, but now I'm reading it with a different perspective with both the movie and the backstory. So it's really fun. It's really a fun read, definitely worth the time to check it out.
Okay, now tell me, because I was going to put this on our chat just to reiterate. So what was the statement you heard? Because I loved it, but it went by so fast I didn't exactly get it. What's the statement that from Facebook this week?
You'll never be loved like this again.
Okay, I just want to make sure I got that correct. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You should write a book.
Just write a book. Yes. Why did I do that? Oh, I am doing that. Okay, never mind.
Isn't that funny? I can't imagine 32 books. That's awesome. I mean, I realize she's, it's not like she just started last year, but still 32 books is an amazing accomplishment.
It is, absolutely. That is an amazing accomplishment, and that's very inspiring. I aspire to be able to do something like that and to homeschool for 35 years. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
No, really, I can't. And I'll say, when we get to talk to people, we've been so fortunate, the people that we have, Felice just signed onto our chat, I stumbled there for a minute. Sorry. We've met so many amazing people just in the short time that we've been doing this radio show, and I know you'll agree. And people like Tricia, who've been homeschooling for so long, and Felice also, she was homeschooling, I think, back in the 80s. I mean, and Felice said it best, Kimberly, if you remember, in our first meeting with her, she homeschooled when it wasn't cool. And,
right.
Back when it was, kind of taboo and, wasn't supported at all. And there weren't all these resources out there. And so I just feel so blessed to be in the company of so many encouraging, supportive, inspirational people. And it really gives us a roadmap. We don't have to be labeled. We don't have to follow a certain path. We don't have to be, any one type of homeschooler. We really have the autonomy to do, to teach our kids how we want to. And I feel so blessed with that.
It's funny that Felice came on the line, because I wanted to say, in the movie, there is the pastor's wife reminded me so much of Felice. I could swear that Patricia Heaton's character was based off of Felice in the movie, even though Patricia Heaton's character was a Baptist pastor's wife. So it was slight tweaking, but definitely a Felice type person, someone who shares their knowledge and encouragement with a younger generation of moms, just like our Felice does for us.
Well, she hasn't seen the movie either. She's chatting with us right now, and so she hasn't seen the movie either, so I have to tell her that you think she's already in there.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going with that character's based on Felice. So it was a great movie. We really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was everything that could go wrong would go wrong. But in the end, their message did really stick with me. And we did, without giving it away, we touched on it a little bit tonight, especially with don't compare your insides to other people's outsides and your weaknesses to other people's strengths. Those are two big ones for us to really take to heart and kind of give that up. And also, we need to, in our community, Mary Beth, I don't find this to be a problem. When I lived in Sticks and Bricks, it was a different situation, but our community is so close-knit and so tight that I do feel that we support each other as moms and as women incredibly. We share our gifts with one another as opposed to maybe tearing each other down to make ourselves feel better. I don't feel
right.
That pressure at all.
I'll agree with that, and I'll tell you that, especially, today it is, but it really started for me, and I've examined some things the last week, and you know where I'm at with our full-timing journey. I mean, we were at kind of a crossroads, definitely going down the right path and where we wanted to be, but this last week, I've examined some things about, remembering why we're doing what we're doing and all of that. And with all that came last night, I started with your Mother's Day message to me last night, yours personally to me. And just over the last 24 hours, how many messages that I have received or responded to from all over this country, from so many women in our community. And it just touches me because I can't, I just can't count myself any more blessed for all the wonderful people, moms, women that I have made through this community, because they're all amazing in their own right.
They are. I had the privilege last night to sit down with Bunny's kids. I'm parked next to Bunny, and I thought to myself, what's something really cute that we could do for Bunny? Obviously, we're going to make them cards. We're going to make her cards, and the kids did sit down and make her Mother's Day card. But I took a minute to put them both on video, and I interviewed them about her. And it was such a wonderful moment for me to just see kids that adore their mother. And I know that I'm adored by my kids, but it's so easy to take for granted. So it was just very refreshing and a lot of fun to do that and videotape that. And we sent that little snippet over to Bunny this morning, and she loved it. So fun little
Aww.
Things that we can do for each other.
I'm sure she did love that. Well, that brings up a point that I've kind of have for you. We were just getting ready to ask you this question. You led me right into it. So, how do you unplug? How do you unplug yourself? I think I've thought about this week. I've been so crazy about all the things that you need to do, and especially when you're writing a blog or you're writing a book or you've got any kind of a professional obligation at all, especially when it's tied to income, and especially if you're on the road. And that's how you're making your money, and we've talked about this before. How do you unplug, Kimberly? Do you find yourself that you can do it naturally? Is it because when something happens or you feel guilty that you just naturally do it? Or is it something that you actually plan for? How do you unplug yourself so that you can, like you said, spend time with your little ones and do what you need to do, whether it's homeschool or just family time?
It's funny you bring that up because that's a big struggle of mine, a very big struggle. And we've talked about that I may or may not be addicted to my phone. So literally, if I want to unplug and on the way to Mother's Day brunch and on the way home, I had to put my phone out of sight and just be able to talk to my kids. And I know that's something I need to continue to work on, to be way more present, because with technology and with all that you and I specifically do on the internet and all the information we put out there and all the information we receive from it, it's really hard to let that go. But it's very important. So that's what I do. I try to lose my phone every once in a while or let it run out of juice.
How about
and
you?
I think that's exactly where I was going with this. I know that this week I've just been kind of looking for them, you know, in my prayers I've been that way. Where, you know, show me how to be, you know, I'm not looking to be a better mom. I don't mean it that way, but I want to be a more engaged mom. And I've really been looking for that direction this week. And it came to me, I mean, lead by example, because I find myself saying to my kids, you know, if we're going to go in somewhere, you don't need your phone. However, I take my phone. You know, so that doesn't really speak to itself. So, you know, I've kind of decided that it starts with my phone. And,
right.
You know, your computer's not very far behind, probably. You know, that sometimes you just have to, like, totally unplug. Seriously, absolutely, totally unplug. I think when we're in our rig, it's probably harder for me right now, and I'm a little more cognizant of it because I am stationary and we're back and forth from, you know, from our property to our rig. And I think when we're traveling, you know, it's easier because you are a little bit away from the world anyway, and it's easier to just go outside and do that. But when you, I don't know, it's hard to unplug. That's my point.
It is. And I do really believe that we've made this conscious effort to live this way more authentic lifestyle than we were living before when we move into 350 square feet. But we also have to do the other half, which is consciously remove ourselves from social media and from technology, because someone in our position might use it as a little more of a crutch. There are times when we travel alone. And we don't have friends with us. And to be connected in real time on social media is just hypnotic. I just can't tear myself away from it sometimes. But that's really what needs to be done.
Yeah, you're right. Leslie, they're just giving us a resource on the chat. I don't know if you can see it, but it's handsfreemama.com. And she says that she's really inspired by Rachel's insight on that website about being more intentional and being engaged with your family. So definitely something that I'll check out.
Yes, I've heard of that before. I thought it was slightly ironic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I will never remember, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to remember, but there was a blog I followed very early on, and it was a blog, and she had a Facebook, you know, she's done all the right social media connections. She had a very strong following. I don't remember her name. It doesn't even matter now. But it did have something to do with being unplugged. And I followed her for several months, and then she actually shut her Facebook group down.
Right. I remember
talking
about that.
Do you remember me talking about that? And I
do
remember thinking, but I was so just, I admired her so much, so I thought, you know, she's really walking the walk, you know. And I don't know that I can always walk the walk, and No, that bothers me sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's definitely about balance, for sure. So just keeping to seek balance. So speaking of being plugged in, what's new at Road Trip Mom, this roadtripmom.com this week?
Well, what's new at Road Trip Teacher? I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right.
We were spending
teacher,
so
duh.
Much time on this. That's all right. Maybe I should buy that domain too, right? So we have, you know, I've launched some new study guides this week as we talked about, the one on Southern Indiana. We're doing one on Indianapolis, and we've got one on Springfield, which are the two capitals for Indiana and Illinois, as you know. So we're working on those, and I've gotten a lot of requests for our little vocabulary worksheets that tie into the study guides, so I've been feverishly working on crosswords and word searches for all those vocabulary lists. So if someone has a request, now's a good time, because that's kind of what I'm working on at Road Trip Teacher, are requests from current subscribers.
Very good. Well, I published I was taking a shower, getting ready for the news crew to come, and I was thinking, you know, back to when I didn't know what a full-time family was, what a full-time RVing family was, and I wanted to know more about it. And in my shower, in my head, I wrote this entire blog post called The Five Common Misconceptions About Full-Time RVing, Full-Time Traveling Families. And then I immediately got out of the shower and wrote it down on my computer. And it seems to have resonated with a lot of people because it's gotten a tremendous amount of traffic this week. Do you run into misconceptions about what this lifestyle is or isn't?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, some of them are very apparent, but some of them are a little obtuse, too. And I think, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think that was a great post. You're so in tune with, I know you've been on the road for a while, but you're so in tune with things like that. And it's one of the reasons that I started following your group in the first place, to be honest.
Well, I'm hoping that if the video we worked on this week airs, and if it's well received, then when people go to Full-Time Families, they'll see these common misconceptions, and maybe they'll know there's a little more to it than just a bunch of families that are constantly on vacation.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, I know that we get defensive about that. I know I'm defensive about that, you know, because it's not not at all what what anybody I've met on the road is about. That's for sure.
Right. Absolutely. No, I find that it's a lot of people who work hard and play hard and enjoy their lives. So if you want to check out the countdown of 5 common misconceptions about full-time traveling families, you can go to fulltimefamilies.com. And let's see, what's coming up this week? Trying to think. Oh, next week on the show, I'm in the works. Have you ever heard, you heard it from me, the bottle hunter, the message in a bottle hunter?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, I have been stalking Clint Bluffington, that's his name, for about 2 years, and he's finally responded to one of my multiple Facebook messages. So I'm hoping that next week he'll be available to be on the show with us and talk about being a message in a bottle hunter, which is a passion of mine. You and I have released our own message in a bottle, and I know last week he discovered a camera, a waterproof camera that he was going to get developed, and I can't wait to see what the pictures were on that camera. Dun, dun, dun.
How interesting. Well, you should. Your next post should be about, I don't know, I'd call you a stalker, although I guess if we look up the definition, it may be fitting to you. I'm not sure what other nicer word I can use, but you're definitely, when you put your mind to something, you don't give up, which is one of the things I love about you, but as a partner especially. So maybe you should write your next post on that.
On being a stalker?
The five ways to be a successful stalker. Without doing anything illegal. There you go. There's
right, exactly. Without committing any felonies. Very cool. So hopefully he'll be on the show next week. If not, we'll have someone just as interesting. So tune in. Last week's show is finally up. You know, we're a little beholden to our internet connection, and I had a heck of a time, but I was finally able to get up that show about dirty laundry. Talk dirty to me. And I do have to, in the spirit of true confessions, make my peace be heard on Wednesday night when we were preparing for this film crew to come. I went through all my clothes and realized that we did not have not a single, of which we have 15, FTF shirt that was clean. And Bunny looked at me and said, you know, I have a washing machine in my rig. Because the laundry was closed here already. And Eric Arnold took all of the FTF shirts I had in the house and cleaned them and folded them, and they came back in this beautiful pile, and we were all able to wear them on Thursday for the big filming. So I have to say, it does come in handy.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did, I just thought it was funny. Although I have to say, you have to admit that it wasn't just that you had access to laundry, but seemingly you had a laundry fairy, so that's a little more to it.
Exactly. I did. I had a very, very handsome laundry fairy helped me with my laundry. It was wonderful. So it was a good week. So, okay. Well, we are headed to Utah on Thursday, and hopefully we're going to be able to witness the Golden Spike, the connecting of the Intercontinental Railroad. They do a reenactment at that national park every Saturday during the summer. So hopefully we'll be able to see that. We'll put some pictures up. And you have any travel plans this week, or are you still laying the groundwork for your summer tour?
We are actually going to be here in Indiana for the next couple of weeks, although we're going to be leaving later this week for a short trip over to Greentown for a Samboree rally over there that is show-related, and got some short trips planned, like I said, for some state parks, so we'll have some pictures up on that. And if you're traveling through the Midwest and find yourself in Indianapolis, we'll have some resources for you on some places to visit.
Perfect. Very perfect. Very nice. Okay, until next week, have a good one. Travel safe.
Yep, safe travels. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, absolutely.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.